Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer, and I am just thrilled to have the two badass, wonderful powerhouse women that I've got on today's show for you today. It's a weird new normal, you know. We're going through the pandemic still, and we're still trying to get, you know, our sea legs going in regard to what feels right and how we can really recreate our lives. And so many of us are going through, you know, career shifts or career fears or career changes or having to re-identify how we navigate through career. So today I am going to start off our show with business owner and friend of mine, such a badass powerhouse. What a lady. Elizabeth Bonanno, she is the business owner of the EAB Project, a luxury brand development agency that represents high-end jewelry designers, and she's a jewelry historian, which I just found out. I've known her for like 10 years, and I just found that out, so that's really cool. So, and then we're going to talk to Tess LaBella later on in the show. She's a children's author, and she's a SAG voiceover actress, but without any more waits or delays, let me bring my friend and business owner, Elizabeth Bonanno, the owner of the EAB Project. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on Unlimited Realities today. How are you?
I'm well, and thank you so much for having me. This is fantastic. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, this is great. I love, you know, you're such a powerhouse energy and vibration, and you're one of the most positive souls I know, and have now the beautiful benefit of living close to.
And I said,
I can't wait for this I can't wait for this pandemic to lift so we can go play. I mean, thank God, I really can't. But you are the owner of the EAB Project, which is a luxury brand development agency, and it also represents a lot of high-end jewelry designers. So you're coming up on Mother's Day. You're coming up on graduation, mm-hmm. two big buying days, you know, for your industry.
Yeah.
And you travel a lot normally in your business.
A lot.
So how are you? How are you doing it? I mean, what's changed? How do you do business? How do you conduct life now professionally in this pandemic time?
Well, I'm conducting it from my home, like the rest of us. And you know, you're right. It's a big holiday. It's a big time of year that comes up. You know, Mother's Day, graduation, spring, anything that happens, you know, goes on in the spring. People feel like they want to mark these milestones in their life. And if you're a jewelry collector, that's what you do. And I think that just to give people a perspective of my industry, even when somebody may be so disassociated from jewelry at all, and what I deal with is very high end, to remember that my industry is an international industry that starts with, for example, you know, people who are mining stones. You know, I speak on the regular to small families in Nigeria or people in Pakistan, et cetera, all over the world.
Wow.
So the pandemic is affecting small families because they're not just big mining companies. Small families
right.
that count on, you know, the 4, 5, 10 stones a year they sell, all the way to pardon me, perhaps the junior associate at a jewelry store or the person who has the cleaning service at the jewelry store. So
right.
every touch point in between has been affected by this. So when we look at jewelry as something frivolous or not important, to remember that adornment goes back from the beginning of time. And the industry is huge. And so
right.
I kind of look at it from that perspective. So when this happened, I immediately decided that I had to shift my attitude about scarcity, go into the attitude of possibility. What could I do?
Good for
from,
you.
Yeah, from my home that could make a difference. And thank God for social media and that outreach, because I'm very active on that anyway. But I decided to take it to another level and bring kind of bring my world to my audience and encourage them to continue celebrating their families, their friends, their loved ones, and not to forget about, you know, still marking these milestones, albeit a lot of them are doing it in a much lower price point.
Right, right.
So that's how I started.
Right, but it's, you know, it is. It's and who doesn't like a little blitz, you know? I mean,
right.
Come on. It it adds a little sunlight, a little sunshine. That's really cool, bringing into play and consideration these small families around the world that you're connecting with that are also affected by this pandemic, because it really is, we're all connected. And how much more real does it get when you're on Zoom or Skype or something with, you know, somebody halfway across the world? I mean, that makes it very, very real. So it's now you are so you normally travel a lot, and you are pretty newly married. I mean, you're in a few years of a new marriage, and you know, you're probably both getting used to having each other home more. So what has that looked like? How has that changed in your life with your husband and your lifestyle and being home? Have you done anything new, added anything in your day?
Yes, we have. And, you know, I'll say that my husband's work keeps him at home, pardon me, and my work has me travel. And I live in Florida and New York. I do. He lives here. So, and comes with me to New York when I travel there. Pardon me at times, but it's kind of a new temporary normal. And
right.
I keep on putting that word temporary in there so that people and myself don't stand in that this is forever. So
right.
Hold on to that new temporary normal.
right.
And so for us, listen, I'm going to say, you know, for me, I got married later in life. I'm 56. We were married a year and a half ago, and we've been together 4 years. So,
so cool.
Later in life, not too late, you know, or late, or I've got no two about any of it. I had never planned on being married.
You avoided the two divorces that I had to go through. So, hey, you know,
exactly.
It's all good. You know, you just avoided that crap. So, you know, you got to a point
exactly.
in your life where, you know yourself, you know what you want, you know who you are, and hey, you just move on from there. But let's talk about how you met, because I am being inundated.
Okay.
I am being inundated. The last week, 10 days, I can't tell you how many people out of the blue have either flat out told me to do it or, like, tried to feel me out to see how I felt about going online
to
check out, right? Well, you know, so I plug in my zip and I feel out the area and then I go offline. But talk about, I know so many success stories from people who have met online. I have clients, I have successful, happy marriages, friends, so many of them. Mm-hmm. So I do know this exists. Let's talk about a happy online meet that you did. Let's talk about how you met him.
All right. And I just want to say about the question you asked before, we get along well, unusually well. I don't that everyone does, but we started meditating and we can talk about that after I answer this question. That was, you had asked about what I was implementing new, and that was it. So, pardon me. So you had helped me get out of a very bad relationship and start healing from that. We worked on that together. Right. Because I don't know if people know this on a lot as long as well, rather, as being friends. You are my spiritual guide that I use in my life to help navigate through things in my life that I need help with. And that's actually how we met. So that's how you and I met.
So blessed.
So I was about 2 years out of, you know, this healing and the relationship. And I was like, I said, you know what? I travel so much. And at the time I only lived in New York. And I was like, when I come back here, I don't, pardon me. I'm sorry about blowing your eardrums out with that. I didn't want to come back and be like, you know, set up by a friend and whatever. I wanted someone to go to dinner with, to go to museums with. I was not looking for anything, pardon me, you know, really heavy or permanent. And so I was very open to what would show up. A lot of my younger friends were on Tinder. Right. A lot of my younger friends were on Tinder, and actually, I was in Paris with a few of them while they were Tindering, and they told me, you know, every city you go in, you can Tinder, and not like, you know, I'm picking up guys in every port. That's not what I was looking at, not that I'm against that for anyone, you know. I don't have any gender-specific, judgments on what people do. But what I decided that I wanted to do is I was like, you know what, let's be open to it. Now, here's the thing. I am a plus size gal, and for a lot of us women, we have been shamed in our life and made fun of and had people be cruel to us. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pull the wool over anyone's eye. There's going to be a picture of me standing up, not just a picture of my face. I'm going to do a side view. God, I'm sorry about these allergies, and I'm clearing my throat constantly.
They're bad.
So
here.
Sorry.
Allergies are horrible here. No worries.
So I decided I'm going to be real, and I'm also going to ask for and tell people exactly what I want on this, on my description.
Awesome.
I didn't want to be around a smoker. Myself, I don't drink, so I didn't want to be around someone who, you know, drank a lot.
Right.
I liked restaurants. I liked live music. I did not, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that were important to me, I put down. Pardon me. And I did that, and I went live with it. I also decided early on, and this was just for me, because I had heard about, you know, the back and forth that goes on and the constant, and people can end up wanting to be a pen pal. To myself, I'm not interested in a pen pal. I wanted a few things to happen. You know, I had to control the whole thing, being, you know, the boss bitch that I am. I wanted to control a few things, and so I did, you know, short conversations with people who are in action, people who are not too freaky for me.
Right.
So, lo and behold, I'm traveling in Florida, which I'm a native Floridian. So I'm traveling in here working. I'm in Sarasota. I give a friend of mine a Tinder tutorial. And I had been dating on Tinder. And somebody's face pops up. And I said, for example, this guy, he's cute. So you'd swipe right. And I continue on with my conversation with her, my tutorial. 2 hours later, I've left Sarasota, and I'm in Inglewood, where you are now, in Florida. And I get a response from this gentleman, Russ Atkins. And he says, I see you were in Sarasota. How long are you going to be here? And I said, I've already left. And he said, how long were you in Sarasota? And I said, 2 hours. And his response was, you were in Sarasota for 2 hours. And you Tindered. I don't know if I should marry you or never speak to you again. And it made me laugh so hard. two days later, I'm driving from Inglewood to Fort Lauderdale to see my mother, and we decide that we're going to talk. And we start speaking, and we realize, you know, this is a long-distance relationship. So, I mean, this is a long-distance conversation, meaning he's in Sarasota, right. I'm in Florida. I mean, I'm in New York. We're not going to, you know, be too serious about this. So you know what we did? We dropped all that crap. All of that, for example, if you are in a male-female relationship, we dropped all the crap of he's got to drive all the conversations. I can't respond until he reaches out. All of that bullshit, we right. were like, let's drop that. Let's just get to know each other and no interview process. So his first question to me, and side note, I'm a musician. His first question to me was, what's on your playlist? And I thought that was such a great question.
Yes, it is.
And I hung up the phone with him. I hung up the phone with him, and I knew. And I was scared. I was like, I can't tell anyone, but I knew.
Right.
And that was it. And that was it. And
how
3 months later, we met in person. Yeah, 3 months later, we met in person, and we've been together since that day.
Now, what a wonderful, happy little story that is. That just gives me all the good feels.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story. Yeah. I like it.
It really is. I mean, it really is. That's a really, really cool story. And on Tinder, no less, because, I mean, I know from reputation it tended, or I think in the past it more than it does now. I don't know, maybe not. But it was more like a hookup kind of place, right? It was more
I think it still is for a lot of people. Which you know, for me and for Russ, like I'm not saying I didn't use it to hook up.
Right.
You know. And again, you know, for anyone who's listening, I don't have that thing about, you know, hooking up is wrong. I just want people to, you know, to be safe in their world. And,
yeah, there's,
you know, physically safe, emotionally safe. Yes. Yeah. So, and we also, Russ and I were both people who believed, I'm a very happy person when I'm single. I'm not a lonely person. I'm not a person who's alone. It's why I can travel very easily by myself all over. I take vacations by myself. I still travel by myself married. We still believe very much that we have to be autonomous beings who are seeking things in our personal life, because that's what drew us together. You know, we're very interested in each other's lives, and we still do that. We're very independent.
It makes her
very together.
Yeah.
Which I think is easy to do you don't have kids with someone, you know. We're older.
And also
so
and
we
also
can do that.
You got together when you really know yourself, you know, and you know, not only you have the kid factor, but you also have established careers and you have you know, certain patterns and certain things, you know, certain things that ways have to go. So, fast forward. One thing that we wanted to just come back and touch on is that through this pandemic, you guys started a meditation ritual that has really benefited both of you. And I'm very, very, very big in meditation. I truly believe we all need to learn, even if it's just a minute a day, you know, start with that. But to really just quiet ourselves and go into our feeling and our essence. But how have you found that as a benefit through this pandemic?
I think it's been quite remarkable, and we're not perfect at it. So as a side note, my husband's in recovery, and he works a very strong program in recovery, which opens up for him every day with personal meditation and reading. And I've been with him for 4 years, and he does not wane on that. It happens every morning. He has a book of gratitude that he writes in every night. and then he clears the day before of resentment. So even if, for example, we have a conversation and he doesn't like how his tone was, frequently I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude. He cleans it up for himself. So he runs a very strong spiritual program, and he was the one who came to me with this meditation opportunity. Pardon me. And I can't remember the name of it. Why would I? But I'll give it to you. So if you need to post later or, you know, talk to people about it later, it's great because it's not long. It's maybe 2 minutes of the gentleman, you know, talking to you about whatever the subject matter may be. And then it's a 10-minute meditation that's very interesting. It's close your eyes, walks you through,
right,
you know, how to meditate, meaning how to handle the thoughts that come through your head and to let them go, et cetera. But, you know, when it's done, especially because we do it together, we sit on the couch, we do this together, it's this opportunity where we kind of both get to the same place. You know what I mean? We're both like on the same, you know, emotional page. And navigating through being together 24/7, you know, when you're in lockdown, it's a really great thing to do. And then you feel connected on a different level. It's been very powerful for me. And honestly, we miss some days, you know. But we also decided we're not making ourselves wrong about that. We're just going to pick it back up and do it again. And that we walk together at night. And those are two things that we do to connect. And yeah, so it's been great.
I think that's awesome. I really believe in the power of meditation. It totally changes the essence and the energy, and really, really helps direct us on a really good path. So then we're going to bump ahead. In addition to a marriage in, you know, the second half of life, you also found, synchronistically, a cousin.
Isn't that crazy?
So, isn't that crazy? So we're going to bring on Miss Tess LaBella. And Tess LaBella is a children's author. She's also a SAG voiceover actress. She's also such a sweet-spirited angel soul and a friend. And welcome to the show, Tess. Thank you for being on Unlimited Realities.
Thank you very much for having me. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy listening to my cousin talk. I mean that, Elizabeth.
Hey, girl.
You always, from the moment I met you in reality, okay, you have inspired me. And I have to say, very grateful to our mutual friend Karen for introducing us, because this is how this circle really began. So I can't even move forward without acknowledging her lovely spirit in bringing us together, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't know you. And then I wouldn't know Lisa.
We would not.
And that's Karen Arouge. How do we say
Karen
her last name?
Arouge.
Karen Arouge.
A light worker.
Are your ears burning, Karen Arouge?
Yeah, Karen, if you're there, I'm sending you all my love. Very humbling moment meeting you at our house and having that,
isn't
that visit
crazy?
And sharing a meal. It was wonderful. And some spirits.
Okay, so let's bring the audience there. Okay, here we go. We got to bring the audience into the living room here and to the the dinner. So Tess, were you cooking the meal?
Yes.
Was the meal cooked by? Yes, of course it was. Okay, so we're in Tess's home, and Tess cooked this probably incredible Italian meal, right, Tess?
I don't remember what we ate.
We're running.
No, we were too busy talking.
Incredible Italian meal.
It probably was. Thank you for that.
Shocking.
Thank you for
shocking
that.
Italian food from Asquita's.
Yes.
And so you're sitting down with a mutual friend, Karen Arouge, and Karen says,
and your husband.
Hi, Elizabeth, meet Tess. Tess, meet Elizabeth. And Tess says, Elizabeth, do you know so-and-so? And you guys find out and realize in this moment that you're cousins. I mean, how mind-blowing is that? I mean,
well,
like, that, you would have like, I'm a fly on the wall and
it
I'm
was.
Like,
Elizabeth,
yes.
do you and can you recreate the story? Like, I remember it was Joanne Bonanno and her husband. Those are my father's side of the family. And
Joanne
the Bonanno,
and
Lud. Pardon me?
Joanne and Lud.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
And those were my father's second cousins. So that would make Joanne and Lud my third, and then obviously Elizabeth my fourth, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So this is what
wow.
happens, Lisa. We are, I mean, if somebody asks you, are you related to Joanne and Lud? It's not like Linda and it's not like Linda and Steve Jones.
Right.
Joanne
right.
and Lud Bonanno. I mean, Tess and I are Italian. And I look
yeah,
and I'm like, yeah. And she was like,
yeah.
They're my relatives too. And it was it was just kind of crazy. It was
yeah.
crazy. But then
yeah.
in that second, there was this familial connection where you're like, oh my God,
right.
you know, and which
you're
is
home.
Weird. And I know that, yeah. And I know that people are connected energetically, but when you're also connected genetically,
yes.
it's a weird like click. And that was the craziness. I mean, it was so crazy. And then the other thing that happened, all of that craziness, is that I was sitting in a chair that I believe I'm remembering this correctly. In front of the chair is, I think the dining room table floats in front of the doorway that goes
yes.
into the hallway towards your
that's
bedroom.
Correct. Yes, that's
and
correct.
And I was sitting in a chair that on the left of me is the dining room table. In front of me is the doorway, which was dark. I don't know that there's a door in there. It's a passage. And it
correct.
Was dark over there. And to the right of me is the kitchen. And I'm speaking to everyone towards the kitchen. And because we can open this up. Do you want me to open this part up, Lisa?
Please do.
Or did you want to?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I experience people in my life with peripheral movement. People who have passed over. I have
mm-hmm.
nonstop, constant movement in my peripheral vision. And I'm just used to it. It's been my whole mm-hmm. life. It's just always activity going on. And I experienced a small young lady moving back and forth in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And,
wild.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, Tess, I think that there's a young lady here. And honestly, I can't remember the other feelings I had about it.
Do you know who
because
that is,
it was
Tess?
Yes, I do. I do know who it is, actually. And then we started
wow.
to talk. And we couldn't get over Karen because Karen was just screaming. Am I right, Elizabeth? She was just
yes.
so blown away. She was like, what did I do?
What did I do? What
here?
Have I done?
What did I do? It's a very long story, but yes, I do know the little girl spirit that came into the room. And it's, yeah. But I have to just add this, and this is just my own interpretation of that day that still carries with me. I think any time you bring pure intention into anything, pure intention of gathering together with the meal, the knowledge that I was going to meet Karen's friend, okay, so grateful to have her bring somebody that she cared about into our home. You know what I'm saying? It just
right.
it opened up. Like you say,
yeah.
the energy for goodness, for kindness, for that connection
exactly.
of the ancestors to say, you two were supposed to meet. I got chills, actually, right now.
Yeah.
Right. I have too. I do, too.
You know, I will never forget that day. Yeah, I will never forget that day. And and even though we don't get a chance to chat a lot, it is nice to know that that happened.
Yeah.
Just friendship and love and light. So, I'm not a, I loved, Elizabeth, how you were talking about the meditation. And I don't meditate because my attention span is that of a gnat. I have no attention span whatsoever.
Sure.
And anything I always say that's going on up in that head, there is like the Jeopardy, what does he do when he says, Alex Trebek, useless information for 200, Alex. That's what's up in my head. Just useless information, okay? Just things that float around every day. But I embrace it because I think that that's where my creativity is. But if you could help me and the rest of the listeners, how to get into the art of meditation, I would appreciate listening to that.
Honestly, meditation is so easy if we can get out of our heads of how it's supposed to be. Because your mind, first of all, especially the three of us, the three of our minds will never stop, okay? We're going to have a constant tape of thoughts. Constant type of thoughts, okay? So when you go into meditation, the best way to go into it is to push your stomach muscles out. You know how we try to sit up straight and, keep our stomach
calm? Oh, those muscles are gone. They're already out permanently.
There you go, girl. So you breathe that stuff out. You breathe it out, and you just relax that piece, and you put your focus on that part of your physical body. And then you kind of like lean into the relaxation of your breath coming from your diaphragm, not your chest, but your diaphragm. And then you just go into that breath. You can give yourself a mantra. You can give yourself something nice to say or think as a statement if you want. You can think about a visual, a beautiful beach scene or something that gives you a calming rhythm, like the waves, something that helps. But go into it very slowly. Like start with 30 seconds. Start with a minute.
Okay.
Don't even give yourself a stress on a time limit. And then as you build up, you go into a minute for a while. As you do it, you just do it for a minute. And then when you get comfortable, you go to a minute and a half. Or you go to
That's
minutes,
helpful. That's very helpful.
Yeah,
Lisa, thank you.
Build up to it. Of course, it's we make it complicated, and we make it complicated because we have lots and lots of workshops and programs to sell all across the world.
Right.
Everybody's an expert. So it's like, if we can all just utilize what God gave us and the natural environment we're in and make it a lot simpler, it's a lot simpler. It's like, I'm bored with teaching what I teach because it's like, God, I've been doing this over 30 years. I'm bored with it. It's like, you guys all know this stuff. I've said it and I've reset it and I've said it and I've reset it,
And
it's
then there are people like me that come along.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
No, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to step on what you were saying. I wanted to say something about because I think it may relate to you, Tess. For me, I have that same kind of brain, and I also, when I close my eyes, I feel all of the people who are around me, up in my face, and so I'm like opening my eyes, closing my eyes, opening. So it can be stressful for me. So this short meditation I started doing with Russ is great. But you are, you're very aware of your speaking and your voice. It's what you use. And I guess, and I'm going to guess that you can also sing. Because of how you use your voice.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you that chanting, whatever it is that you choose to chant, opened up your chakras.
Oh, I just love you, like,
in your body
right now.
Yeah,
wow,
and the
awesome.
Words are specific. And listen, also, too, I'm not attached to what one is chanting. If things connect you, like I, for example, I have a friend of mine who is seriously in metaphysics, but she's always been very connected to, in Catholicism, the goddess of Mother Mary. And so she does the rosary.
I do that every day.
To the feminine. That's her meditation.
Wow.
That's
there you
the meditation
go.
She does.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool to know that. I never even thought to look at it like that. I love the Blessed Mother. I have always loved her from a child and say the rosary for a million thousand people. My list is getting longer every day, but I do enjoy it. I've done it forever, and I don't know. It comforts me. It comforts me. I had panic attacks.
That's your meditation.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
and
see, maybe that's the only time
from.
My brain is quiet.
Yeah, because that's, you
know,
you go in where you're comfortable, you know, and whatever it is that resonates with you, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be any set pattern or set way. And you know, there's no one way to do it. That's the whole beauty of it. There's walking meditations and, you know, there's, you know, guided imagery visualizations. I mean, there's all these different ways. It just depends on... You know, the chanting, that was a beautiful suggestion, especially
well, ladies,
for you guys.
Ladies, you just,
too.
That was really, thank you so much for that. You don't even know what that means to me. That's great. I had no clue. And talk about the awareness. You know, you're doing something, but until somebody brings it to your attention and makes you aware, it changes the whole dynamic your thoughts, of the way you're feeling about something. Now when I do it this afternoon, I'm going to look at it and think about it differently for now and forevermore. Thank you for that. What a gift.
And Lisa, I think that your comment is so important for people who are listening to hear, which is drop your expectations about or your thoughts about what something should look like, your preconceived thoughts, and just do what works for you. You know, if you need to add lighting a candle and some incense with it to bring it to the next level, if you need to add a little bit of breathing beforehand, you know, do what works for you. And I think that message that you constantly share with people is so important, that drop those preconceived notions.
Well, because it's, you know, there's so much division that we create with too many things, from gender to religion and everything in between, that when, you know, we're trying to evolve ourselves in our highest realm, it has none of that. You know, there is no gender. There is no gender. There is no religion. You know, there's an essence, and that essence really is, you know, connection, depth, love, it all comes from love. And so we start from where we're at. We start, if we've been conditioned our whole life to, you know, resonate and feel comfort and security from a certain belief system, then changing that belief system and trying to get comfortable in a new belief system is going to feel like literally a fish out of water. So it's like you work with what you know. You work with what you know. And the interesting part, many masters have said this throughout the years, is, you know, why look at other religions and cultures? Go with what you were born with, your roots, and find your connection to divinity through the roots you were born with first before you start searching outside of yourself of what's unfamiliar. Because there's a divinity in why you have and were born with those roots. You know, I was born a Catholic. You know, I was raised in Catholicism.
All of us were,
But I don't go to the Catholic Church, but I still have a respect and a connection to it. You know, and there's
same with
pieces
me.
Of it that I resonate with. You know, so it's like I don't dismiss it. you know, although I dismiss the parts of it that I don't like, you know, there's a lot
exactly.
of corruption that showed up, you know, but there's a
yeah.
lot that, you know, ritualistically I still connect with. And so I utilize that in my practice or my belief systems, you know. You just bring in
yeah,
where you're at. And
too.
If you are an atheist, you know, and you don't believe in a so-called God, but you believe in maybe an energy or a force that creates
nature.
Or however you want to term it. Right, nature. You go into deepening through that. So there's all these
exactly.
different pieces, you know, that we don't have to segregate one another. We just find the common thread.
Exactly.
So
I
love how you guys have met. I love how God synchronized the energy. I love how Karen played a significant role in that synchronized energy. She should be on the show with us.
I was hoping you have her on your show. She has so much to give and so much insight and love and everything. Her gifts are enormous.
They really
she
are.
Is. She's a powerhouse,
I mean,
too.
She's so connected.
One.
It's crazy. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like now we'll have to get us all on it together.
Yeah, that would be
oh
lovely.
Oh, my gosh. We'll do a live Skype with the four blocks.
Oh, that'll be lovely.
Like the Brady Bunch.
That would be great. So, Lisa, let me ask you, what are you, not that, you know, I know you're here interviewing us, but, you know, what have you been doing during this, you know, pandemic and lockdown that's been helping you feel, you know, connected and not so, you know,
yeah,
there's a lot of fear out there.
You know, okay, so, you know, I can really speak to that fear because I did just come out of probably a period of my life that I was inundated with and faced so many of my fears. And honest to God, I mean, like, when I talk about surrendering, even in my surrendering, it wasn't enough to alleviate the fear that I was constantly living with. Going to sleep with. So I got out of that and the pandemic happened. I bought a house. I started unloading my boxes and the pandemic happened. So I'm like a week into the house and I quarantine. I start quarantining early, actually, probably earlier than most people. And because I have asthma and I'm freaked out, and one of my best friends is Dr. David Perlmutter, who has me like, don't do this and wash your hands. So I was like,
okay,
David. You know, it's like, okay, I will obey. So I've got that buzzing in my ear. But it really was, you know, and I don't mean to minimize this by any means because I know people who have passed and I know people who are grieving and I know people who are suffering. But for me, it was a weird blessing in disguise. So it enabled me to really go deeper into my personal practices, deepening, having more time to kind of, you know, connect with myself, eliminate my fears, go into meditation, pray. So that really became a very much more of a practice. So even though it was a practice, it became I spent more time in it, which helped me move through my fear. And so then I went through a lot of like nature stuff, going into my garden, and I've actually been working on my books, and I've been working on pulling up because I haven't written in several months. So I pulled up my books and I've been rewriting that, getting back into that, and working on my programs, my online programs with my folks, and doing just kind of tweaking my work, you know, just kind of really building some new stuff. I've got some new ideas for some ebooks that I want to put out, but I'm kind of like figuring out. So I've got some great creative pieces that came through. I mean, it's offered me a tremendous amount of creative outlet and passion and direction. So it's just a matter of, you know, focusing on where I want, what I want to do first, and getting it done and moving on to the next thing. That's probably my biggest challenge, because being a Pisces with a Gemini and Taurus moon and a Gemini rising, I have a tendency to take on three things at once and then,
yes,
you know, get into them. And then, oh, that fourth thing looks really good. Gosh, I'm really inspired to get that going.
Look at
you
that
know,
shiny
and then,
thing
oh, I'll
over
go,
there.
Go back to that. Yeah, let me go eat that croissant, and then I'll go back to number one. So it's like...
crazy. The multitasking of a moon in Gemini.
The multitasking moon in Gemini, yes, yes. It's,
wow.
It's good. It's pretty fun. It can be fun. But, yeah, honestly, this has not been the only... issue for me is when I've had to go out and I'm the only one wearing a mask and gloves and everyone else looks at me like I'm a complete freak. That's the only thing that I, you know, really not enjoyed. But, I honestly think, you know, it's being lifted right now. I mean, even Florida is starting to open its beaches and I don't know how is it over there by you, Tess? You're on the other coast from us. You're in West
Palm
area.
We haven't opened up the beaches yet. There's no opening up the beaches yet. No, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing is done. No.
Good. Good. They're smarter. They're smarter.
Yeah.
Tess, can you do voiceovers and that work from home?
Yes, actually, I'm very blessed.
Great.
I'm very blessed. I have a little sign on my microphone that says, "You're blessed to still be doing your work." I do. I made my daughter put it on her computer, too. I work for a security company that does training tapes in-house because everything is over in Taiwan. So I'm not doing those training tapes now because before the pandemic happened, we had already finished. I mean, that was by the grace of God.
Amazing.
We had already finished.
Wow.
So now it's just paper pushing nonsense, but I'm grateful for that nonsense. And I do volunteer work for the Society for the Preservation of the Great American Songbook, Legends Radio.
Right.
Which has been very helpful because when they need me to do a quick, you know, this weather update is brought to you by, you know, or some other little sponsorship thing, I'm able to do it from home and send it to the studio, and they master it.
Oh, nice.
But I've been very, very, how should I put it, like you all have been doing, digging inside to figure out what's the next thing. Like when we all come out of this. I want to be a better person. I want to be a more grateful person. I want to feel all of that carrying it forward and not be like, okay, this is over now, so what's next? I don't want to do that.
I want to feel like I learned something.
Okay, learn.
Yeah, I want everyone to feel that way.
I want to learn something and carry it forward and keep it inside, you know, keep it inside, because I think when you work from the inside out, I don't know, somehow, I never did that, by the way. I mean, I'm 60 years old, and all these tools that I'm able to hand to my daughter, she's like, Mom, this is like a totally different person. I said, well, I'm sorry. What do you want from me? It took me a long time to learn this
stuff. That's wonderful.
be grateful, you know? I'm able to share it with you, okay, and that you don't have to do some of the mistakes that I did. Because you learn by your mistakes. I really believe that. And maybe it's not a mistake. It's just a way of learning. And I don't know. But that's what I feel. I want to take this time in history and remember it.
I agree.
No, I'm not bored here.
Not bored.
I don't think any of us get bored. I don't think the three of us.
Me either. I did such an Italian thing. One of my friends was like, I'm bored. I said, go scrub something. Don't you have a toilet or something you can go scrub? I mean, come on, how could you be bored? Come on.
How could you
right.
be bored?
How could you
be bored?
There's always something to do. I know. I think
Lisa,
that's a mindset.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. It is. It's totally a mindset. Lisa, I had someone after I had Lisa on we did a live Instagram chat through my Instagram page. And Lisa,
okay.
after we spoke, I had someone reach out to me and say that that while, you know, a lot of times when we just want to wash over something, people will say, all right, well, I'm sending thoughts and prayers. And, you know,
uh-huh.
I believe
right.
in being in action with, you know, if one can do it, because I know there's a lot of people who we are privileged to do what we do. And there's a lot of people sitting out there right now that can't have these conversations or do these things. But, you know, if we can get in action, if we can donate, if we can do anything, then we
mm-hmm.
will. But one of the things that someone said to me was that the power that this virus has and the way it's attacking people and the way it is challenging our first responders in many areas, like some areas aren't getting it yet, but others
uh-huh.
are
yeah, right.
so overwhelmed that it literally
yeah.
takes the whole world being in lockdown or sequestered. It takes their collective thoughts and energy to hold these people up. That's how powerful
right.
this disease is. And that's
huh.
why
yes.
we're sitting in this. And I was like,
right.
wow, what a perspective. Like,
that is a perspective,
just,
boy.
You know, that like to everyone take, if everyone could take a moment on top of doing, being in action, if everyone could
right.
take a moment energetically to begin to envision people well, to envision
right.
people being filled with light and additional strength that they need because they're so tapped out and they're so
oh, I know
willing
it.
To be tapped out.
I know.
And those
I know.
Who are
and they're
sitting
so
alone. Yes.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I was like, that is such an amazing perspective that it,
it is. And
all of us.
The energy.
Yeah, really, it was really powerful. Yeah.
I love that.
Several,
I love that.
There's been several meditation, like collective calls through the pandemic. Like I think Deepak did one, Marianne Williamson did one.
Yeah.
Many, you know, collective points of gathering together at a certain time and place collectively around the world and sending that vibration out, you know, for those suffering, from first responders, from those who are healing. And it's been a very, you know, I think that the more we can do that, I think, you know, even towards the end of this show, we can spend a few moments just in saying a little prayer of gratitude for, you know, these first responders, because it's scary. I mean, they're going to an invisible war. They can't see, you know, and they don't know if it's going to attack a week later or not. You know, it's
right.
It's a very, you know, it's a very precarious time we're in. It really is.
Right.
It's,
the mass transition of souls. You know, that's how
I know it. I read today that it exceeded the Vietnam War deaths. Is that
yeah?
Yep.
My husband
true
told me
and
that
accurate.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah,
God,
that is accurate.
I mean, that is holy scary. That just absolutely is paralyzing to me. Because it's, you know, and then you have certain people who just, you know, are giving falsehoods and false advice and not believing in it, not believing in. It's a very, very scary world when we don't take these things seriously, you know. So I'm hoping that, you know, there's a little bit more compassion collectively we all gain from this that we carry forward. Like you were saying, Tess, you know, I want to be better, you know, people. We want to be better people. We want to have, but, you know, I hope collectively we're able to carry this essence forward, this compassion, this awareness, this sensitivity to others.
I think there's strength in numbers. And I think the number
Amen.
Of people
yeah.
that are now grateful and praying more. I mean, I'm a big prayer person.
Yes.
I mean, I do not judge anybody that doesn't. This is just my personal way of coping with any challenge I've ever had in my life. I always go to prayer. So hopefully, whatever your form of worship, thanking, whatever it is, I think it's heightened now. I think we're all heightened. I think we're better in numbers in the positive than we ever were in the numbers of negative, because it's worldwide. It's not just one place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely, and there's, it's amazing to me the difference in within one state. Like, you're saying, no, West Palm Beach is aware. We do know this is a pandemic. The beaches are still closed. We have not opened. And over here, over in Englewood, the beaches, I believe, Port Charlotte opened
today.
Their beaches.
Mm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Today.
Yeah. So, and honest to God, whenever I had to go out, and I went out a couple of times over a six-week period of time to get supplies, it never looked like we were into the pandemic over here. People were just acting as if it was normal. The stores were crowded, the streets were
unbelievable.
Crowded. There was no sign of that here. So it's very different, even within a state, how different people can be through this. So
my home in New York, I live in the city, and five blocks from where I live, there's triage in Central Park, in the park.
Right.
And so, I also want to say that I totally understand how when you're in a city and they're saying to you, there's 47 people with the case, for example, everyone stay home, and people are not seeing it happen the way they were seeing it happen in LA or in New York at that speed, for them to start believing this is it's not going to happen that way here. And that's my hope, is that it does not happen that way. And one of the reasons it may not happen that way is because we've stayed inside, or because, we're not as congested there, but we see it, we saw what happened in Italy outside of the
place,
it did happen that way. So, one of the things I have been encouraging people to do is say, go within, ask yourself why your whole life you have seen doctors and nurses wear masks and gloves. Why do you have to?
Right?
You don't have to listen to any messaging that's coming from anywhere, Washington, CDC, whatever it is. Ask yourself, then also ask yourself, would you put your young child out unexposed? Would you do that? If you wouldn't, take care of your personal young child. Take care of your adult self like you would a young child. Take care of others. And those who don't want to take care of others or themselves, for whatever reason, they can't, they don't know how to, they can't access that. Just do
it's a compassion piece.
Go with compassion. Do the best practices yourself, and as well as try to understand that I don't believe that people are trying to hurt you by asking you to stay home. It may feel that way because businesses are closed. Money is not coming in. People are living in their cars. They don't have health care. They are literally being turned away 4 or 5 times from hospitals with testing and then dying from that. So,
And on that note, we have 30 seconds before we have to go off the air. So I just want to take a second and just pause with our three essences and our three energies and just say a quiet prayer here for those first responders, for those recovering, from the COVID virus. God bless all of you. We are here for you. We know that this is difficult, and we are holding you up in soul and spirit and love, and we thank you. We thank you
thank
for
you.
Everything you have done. God bless you. God bless you big. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Thank you, Tess. Thank you, Elizabeth. God bless you, ladies.
Thank you.
Your powerhouses, badasses. This has been awesome. I have loved it. So God bless everybody. And until next week, we will talk again. Have a fantastic week. All my love. Bye-bye.
Love. Peace.
Bye.